How many of you this morning would agree with me that the Bible is alive, that it has a message that changes people's lives? Amen. That as we read it, we connect with God and we experience more of Him. We get answers, we find hope. Hebrews 4 verse 12 tells us or explains the power of the Bible in these few words. It says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." The Bible, quite simply, is alive. It's living. It changes people's lives. See, the Bible is God's love story to us. From the beginning in creation, all the way through to the end of what is to come with eternity, it is full of poetry, it is full of history, characters who saw their lives transformed, prophecies, narratives, relatable parables, instruction and guidelines for wise living. Quite simply, the Bible is everything you need to, has everything in it that you need to know in order to live a successful and fulfilled life. It is found in the one book that contains 66 other books. I'm not going to test you to see if you know all of them. I'm not even going to get you to sing the song. Anyone sing the song at Sunday school? 66 books in God's holy word. I know, Grace, I see you. I'm not going to answer more, but each of those books are really imperative to the story of God and His people, of what it does in people's lives. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 also says this about Scripture. "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." The Bible should, be a key piece of equipment for every single believer in this room. I say should because it's not always for every one of us all of the time, but it should be. The Bible shouldn't be left on a shelf to gather dust, or to be used as a doorstop, or an ornament to make it kind of look good. But it needs to be used, it needs to be read, it needs to be studied, it needs to be meditated upon, and it needs to be put into action. James 1 verse 22. "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." Do what it says. Just like a fireman wouldn't go into a burning building without his breathing apparatus, just like a surgeon wouldn't do surgery without his tools, so a Christian shouldn't go into their day without interacting with God's word. If we choose that we don't do that, well, what happens? Well, at best, we won't be living at our full potential. At worst, we could get ourselves into trouble, making bad decisions, doing stuff in our own strength rather than in the strength of God. That is the reality. The Bible truly should be our guide. Psalm 119 verse 105. "Your word is a lamp unto my feet, and a guide and a light unto my path." If we've been on the journey of faith for any length of time this morning, and we've been interacting with God's word, then it's likely we will have perhaps have a favourite Bible verse. Hands up for me this morning if you have a favourite Bible verse. 1, 2, 3, 4. A lot of you. Favourite Bible verse. Good. Good to know. See, favourite Bible verses are ones that we can often, but not always, quote from memory. Ones that perhaps are your go-to scripture that continually speak to you whenever, whatever season you're in. Maybe it's a verse that keeps coming back through the years as people share it with you. Because God doesn't want you to know it, but he wants it to become a part of your very life, of who you are. Every time perhaps you go to this said verse, it comes alive, it inspires you, it challenges you, it encourages you, and reminds you who you are. It seems to just breathe life into your very heart and soul. Do you have a verse like that? Do you? Do you have a verse like that? Now, the verse may be favourite for a number of reasons. It may have been given to you at your baptism. It may be one you found in your study, or one that a close friend gave to you. Verses like these, I find, are crucial to helping us live lives that are pleasing to God and to help us through the different seasons of life. Many of us will have favourite verses that have spoken to us in varying different circumstances, myself included in that. But before we dig a little deeper into some verses that are really meaningful to me that I believe will hopefully, and I'm believing that will speak into your heart as well, I am just going to give an opportunity for two people, if they would, to come and share their verse and why it's special to them. And I literally want it to be no more than 30 seconds.
30 seconds is impossible.
A minute at tops. Otherwise, we don't want to be here all day. Archibald, wonderful mate. Do you want to come up? Excellent.
Do you want to do it as well?
Yeah, awesome. Do you want to just take this mic so people can hear?
So when we talk about the road race, there's loads of, you know, those in the Bible. But the one that I'm going to pick from right now is Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." Choosing this one because I realize most of what I do that trusting God, sometimes it goes sideways, but the ones that are actually said God, take control of this, it always works.
Wonderful, thank you for that. Okay,
Jesus is the living word, and so I pray that this scripture verse, as you meditate on it, transforms you in the name of Jesus. 3 John 1, verse 2 says, "Beloved, I want you to prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers." And I just want to say this, that in order for you to prosper in your soul, you have to understand that God loves you. You are God's beloved. We are imperfect parents, okay? But we love our children. We would take a bullet for our children. Well, God's love for us is so great, so fast, so infinite, that we can trust him because he loves us more than we could ever love our own children. And so the big question is, I guess, why is it then that things happen to us that we say we wouldn't allow our children to go through? You see, we want comfort and ease. That is what we want. But God is looking at the big picture, and he wants you to be in the image of his son. He wants you to grow up in your most holy thing. So just as Alex, who is my beloved, when he says he's going to have a tooth extraction, I don't say, "No, you can't have a tooth extraction. It's going to be painful. It's going to be hurt. Please don't have it." No, I know that that tooth extraction is going to be for his good. And so what I want you to really get in your spirit is God loves you more than you love your children. It is possible. And even the good and the bad is working for our good. And God allows us to go through troubles and trauma because he wants us to grow up in our most holy thing, because that is what our destiny in him.
favorite verses? Verses that change our lives. Verses that inspire. Verses that keep us on the straight and narrow. Just listening to the last two mini testimonies, you can always already begin to see the power that scripture can have on a person's life. You can be encouraged by what Alethea said, encouraged by what Archibald says, hope encouraged by what I say, and you can see what God says to you about those scriptures or others. Scripture is alive, living, and active. This morning, our time together, I just want to share a few verses with you that have been significant to me over the years. My prayer is, as I share these, that they would encourage you as they've encouraged me over the years. It's reminded me of the power of Scripture, that the power that Scripture has to change lives and inspires us. And I pray that this would inspire us as we move forward into this next week. If you have your Bible, do you want to turn with me to Joshua chapter 1? Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, it's a few verses. You'll find out why these are really important to me over these next few minutes. Joshua 1 verse 5 to 9 says this: "No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Great words of scripture there. In 1997, that's quite a while ago now, I was 16 years old, and I found myself on the Isle of Wight in the middle of a field, waiting for my turn with about 12 other people for an unplanned baptism in a makeshift water pool created for the game show It's a Knockout in our youth camp. I can remember the day as clear as anything. Over the past year, I've had a series of encounters with Jesus that have completely changed my life. From the moment of just attending church, which I've done all the way through my years, and even asking Jesus into my heart, but not really living it, not really having that active faith. I was kind of hanging on the coattails of my mum and dad's faith. But over the course of that year, I realised that God was calling me to something more and something bigger. For a relationship with him that was interactive, but not just that, he placed a calling onto my life, a calling to serve him. Before I got baptised, this was an impromptu baptism that was probably organised the night before. And basically, they did no organisation other than to just pick and say, if you've got a verse for this person before they go into the baptismal pool, will you just give it to them? Or if you've got a prophetic word, just give it. It was literally like that. And so I remember standing there thinking, oh, it's happened for everyone else, will it happen for me? And this guy came up and he read those exact verses. Joshua 1 verse 5 to 9. You've got to realise at this moment that when it was Joshua 1 verse 5 to 9, I was in a place where I'd been bullied at school, where I couldn't feel like I was strong about anything. And here I was, this guy speaking these words of God's amazing kind of scripture over me. It didn't finish there. I kind of had those and I got in a baptismal pool. He's like, those are great words, aren't they? I was like, yeah. He's like, I can't baptise you yet. I've got a prophetic word for you too. And I was like, it was kind of one of those moments that was just so God-given. These words, though, words of scripture, they have something to teach us even today. It reminds me, as I was preparing this, of all the great things that God has bestowed and been doing in me. But these words, There's things that we can learn that we can all take from them for our week ahead. These words and these scriptures have been so impactful over the last 25 years. They've been given to me time and time again in random places. Joshua 1, 5 to 9 has appeared in random places as people have just said, I've got a scripture passage for you this morning. I'm like, okay. And they're like, and it's the exact, it's not even like a different part of it, it's the exact verses each and every time. God wanted to remind me of something. God wanted to say, this is for you. This is a life verse for you. You need to remember this. But not only do you need to remember it, you need to put it into practice. So over the next few minutes, I just want to draw out a few things that I trust will be beneficial to us. But it may be helpful first to give you a little background to Joshua 1 if you don't know it already. So the Israelites are in the desert, having been in the desert for the past 40 years, wandering around, trying to make their way to the promised land, while God's trying to sort out their attitudes and behaviour. Moses was the leader of the Israelites who'd done that massive, amazing miracle, had seen them out of slavery, taken out of Egypt. And Joshua was his deputy and his close confidant. He went everywhere where Moses went. He went up to Mount Sinai, even though he stopped before he got to the top. He was around when the presence of God was in the tent. He stood outside God. He was there where Moses was. He was being prepared. But we find Joshua at the beginning of the chapter being told by God, quite matter-of-factly, in Joshua 1 verse 2. I always chuckle when I read these verses. Moses, my servant, is dead. It's almost like, well, yes, I kind of already know that, because obviously he'd been around, I'm sure he'd seen that Moses had died. But God wanted to say to him, Moses, my servant, is dead. God then proceeds to say to Joshua that he would now be the person who would lead the Israelites into the promised land. Verse 2 continues, now you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River to the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. This was in no way a small task. For 40 years, Joshua had seen the Israelites rebel, disobey, and wander around in circles. He wasn't a young man himself anymore. He's believed to have been around 80 years old. He'd seen people come and go, and even his mentor, Moses, was now dead. What was going to be different now? He was in charge. I'm sure he had loads of questions going through his mind. Am I too old? Do I have what it takes? How can I do this? Will the people follow me? Will I die trying? Will our enemies defeat us? Am I actually even hearing God right? Do we have those moments where we kind of ask ourselves, am I hearing God right? Am I hearing what he's telling me? Have you ever been in that position like Joshua, where God had asked you to do something and it just seemed massive? We then come to verses 5 and 10 and we see God's answers to what I believe are probably some unspoken questions that kind of Joshua had. Maybe he did have them. They're not recorded here, but these answers that God gives to Joshua not only relate to his personal circumstances at the time, but they're relevant for us as well in the situations that perhaps we find ourselves in. The places God calls us to go, the mountains that seem too big for us, the crises that seem insurmountable. As we dig deeper this morning then, let's allow the power of God's word to wash over you afresh. Why? Because God's word is living and active. Sharper than a double-edged sword, it has something to teach you and say to you today. And quite simply, the Bible needs to be central to your and my life. So the first thing I want to say to you this morning that I glean from this scripture is this. Remember who's on your side. Remember who is on your side. Verse 5. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And then the greatest bit of all, I will never leave you or forsake you. Have you ever felt this morning like you're on your own? Battling by yourself. People don't seem to understand what you're going through. They come up with solutions. They try to tell you what to do, but it just doesn't seem to work. Perhaps feel like you're battling and no one is there to support you. You look at your circumstances and all you see is an immovable object, a mountain, something difficult. I kind of think Joshua might have been feeling a little bit like that. Here's a man, old in years, who's now taken over from Israel's greatest leader, who'd led the nation of Israel out of Egypt. And despite this success, they'd been walking in the desert for 40 years. Putting it into context, I'm 41. So that's like the whole of my lifetime. I'm only a year past it. The first 40 years of my lifetime, they were just wandering around the desert. The same desert. If you look at a map, I think some people have tracked it out. They pretty much go around in a circle. They don't get anywhere. I can imagine that he was kind of, perhaps, had a lot of questions. Perhaps he thought, if Moses couldn't do it, how could I? That's even before you think about the wars that would need to be won against the great enemies in order for them to inherit the promised land. But God said something very significant to Joshua, and he says the same to us in our situations. No one will be able to stand against you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Let those words just sink in for a moment. No one will be able to stand up against you. I will never leave you or forsake you. You're not on your own. God's simply saying, I am with you. You don't go into this situation in your own strength. You go in mine. I'll never leave you. Even when everyone else has given up. When the doctors give you no hope, when your bank balance is forever in the red, I won't leave you, I'm your God and you're my child. I will never leave you or forsake you. No one will be able to shake you if you have your firm foundation on me. Secondly, be strong and courageous. It's the second thing we can learn from these verses. I'm sure there's many others, but the second thing God pointed me to. Twice in the passage, in verse 6 and 7, God tells Joshua to be strong and courageous. To not listen to the noise buzzing around the camp. To not listen to his own doubts. Or even, the opposite, not to believe in his own skills or hype. God goes before him, God goes before you, God goes before me. All we need to do is to trust, to step out in faith, to focus our eyes on the one who knows all. And realise it's God who brings you victory. It's not about you. You can be going to any situation in two ways. You can either go in with kind of like, oh, I can do this, I'm great. Or you can think, oh no, I'm on my own. But the reality is that God goes before you. He's the one that brings victory. Amen. He's trustworthy. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Thank you, Archibald, for sharing that. It's in this my sermon as well. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. But in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Be strong and confident in God, not in your abilities. Be strong in God, not in your own abilities. It's not to say that God's not given you skills and talents, because I assure you he has. But if we start believing in our own height, it's very easy for things to come tumbling down like a pack of cards. And it will, eventually. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. That could be with your kids. Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in God. Ask him to help you to bring your kids, your grandkids, your marriages, your workplace. Don't start believing in your own height, or don't start thinking you're not strong enough. But with God, there is always victory. With God, there's always victory. He is all we need. Be strong and courageous in him. Thirdly, and it's the point, I guess, the central point to the whole sermon is this. Keep the word of God central to your life. Keep the word of God central to life. How are you at following instructions? Have we got good instruction followers here? Or are you the kind of person who kind of thinks they know how to do it themselves? Kind of, you go to build something, like a set of drawers or something, and you're like, I don't know how to do this. I'll do this on my own. I don't need instructions. I'll do that. Would you trust in the instructions, or would you put all your belief in your own skills, your own knowledge and experience? See, over the past 40 years of walking in the wilderness, Joshua had seen moments when the Israelites had obeyed God and his commands, and everything was going well. But he'd also seen many more times, when the Israelites had decided to choose their own path. 40 years and still no closer to the promised land tells you another story. It tells you the story that they weren't listening to what God said. Because if they listened to what God said, they would have been in there a lot quicker. You know, a generation of Israelites were killed off because of their lack of being willing to obey what God said, even when it was tough. You know the story that Moses went up to get the commandments, and while they were up there, they were making idols and worshipping idols and doing all kinds of things. Do you know what I mean? They'd be gone like 5 minutes. We need to put our trust in God's word. God wanted to remind Joshua of the need to follow his instruction. And before he could be a leader, he needed to be a son. Before you can lead, or before you can do what you need to do, you need to be a son or a daughter. God didn't say to Joshua, I need you to tell the people that they need to obey everything I tell them. He said, Joshua, I need you. I need you to do this. Verse 8, do not let the book of the... Well, in fact, verse 7 first. Be careful to obey the law, all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. It was a personal thing that God said to them. It's a personal thing that God says to you as well. See, obedience is key to success. Obey what God tells you and you won't go far wrong. It's what the Israelites often failed to do. And it was to their detriment. But it's also the same with us. God gives us instruction, but so often we feel like we know best. We want control, and then we complain when it goes wrong, don't we? But God has made it abundantly clear. You want to be successful in this life, read God's word. But you know what? It's not just about reading. You can be an avid reader of the Bible, and it can still not do anything in you. Why? Because verse 8 goes on to say this. Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so you'll be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Reading it doesn't make you successful or prosperous. Reading it makes you good part of the way. But doing something with it and putting it into practice is what makes you the person that God wants you to be. Jesus says to you, love your neighbours as yourself. Oh, that's a nice thought. God, yeah, that'd be a nice thing to do. I'll do that. And then nothing happens. It's just a nice thought. Love your enemies. Well, it's fine saying it until you get an enemy coming around knocking on your door, making life difficult for you. But he says, love your enemies and many, many other things that are not always easy to do. But if we want to be successful, we have to meditate on God's word. We have to put it into practice. We need to be active, putting it into practice. Is your Bible so important to you this morning that you read it at every opportunity? Whether that is one of these, the good old firm word of God, or whether it's one of these, which is more of the technological word of God. Same thing, different devices. But is it important to you? Does your Bible kind of look a bit like mine? A little bit battered? Now, that doesn't mean you don't read it if it's not battered, because you might look after it really well and put it in its case and things like that. But, you know, if your Bible is pristine, I like to say to you, it's most likely because you don't bother taking it out. If it's battered, it means it's been used. Just a thought. Is your Bible so important to you that you read it every opportunity? Is it so important to you that you not only read it, but you pore over it, meditate on every last word? If you say no to that this morning, I want to ask you a question. Could that be why you're struggling? Could it be
why you're struggling.
Not saying it is.
I'm saying, could it be? That's why you're struggling.
Because we need to be reading God's word. It's living and active. We need to be putting it into practice, however difficult at times it is. See, God promises that if we make the Bible central to our lives, we will be prosperous and successful. Simply put, we will fulfill everything that God has got for us. We need to allow God's word to envelop us. It's not just about getting something when you need it, but it's making it a part of who you are. Psalm 119 verse 11 says, I've stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Store it up. Look at these things. A pastor of mine, as I was growing up, used to say, take scripture like medicine. Read it, take it like you would, and allow it to come and be part of you. Memorize scripture, do all these great things, but put it into practice. If God says don't judge, do your very best not to judge. Try not to get angry. Try not to gossip. All these things and many more that we can slip into. But God says, put my word into practice. Then you'll be successful and prosperous wherever you go. So in conclusion, if there's one thing I want you to go away with this morning is this, is to understand that the Bible is just not another book, but is one that is the living word of God that wants to teach us, wants to inspire us and encourage us. But it will only do that if it's used. Joshua was ultimately successful in leading the Israelites into the promised land. Not because of skill, personality or charisma, but because he allowed God's word to be central to his life. Your success in life won't come down to your skills and ability, but come down to your willingness to understand that God walks ahead of you and he provides the victory. That you're required to trust and step out with strength and confidence in God's power. And you need to make God's word a central part of your life. Don't go into the battlefield of life, which we know it is a battlefield, missing one of your most important weapons. If you looked at the scripture from Ephesians chapter 6, you will see all of the different parts of the armour of God. Sword of the Spirit. What's sword of the Spirit? God's word. What's God's word? The Bible. Using it to break strongholds. Using it to build life and get into the places God wants you to be. Success will come to you. Success will come to me if we put our trust in God and make God's word central to our life. I've been reminded of Joshua 1, verse 5 to 9 again this week, which is why we brought this word today. Be reminded of those scriptures, perhaps a favourite to you. And if you've not got a favourite scripture, doesn't matter because you can find one. There's 66 books worth of them. I perhaps maybe don't go to Leviticus, I mean, you might have it, but perhaps in a sense of fine, just start looking. Study within in God's word, in the Gospels, in the Psalms, in the Proverbs. See what stands out to you. Just make it a central part of your life. I assure you, you won't go far wrong if you do. Let's pray together, shall we?